Welcome to episode 74 of the Deck Tees podcast, brought to you by GatheringMagic.com. My name is Erin Campbell. My guest tonight is no stranger to the show, and with Born of the Gods just around the corner, she is back to spill the tea with me. You know her, you love her. She is the Dion to my Cher, Jen.
Yay! It's been a long Theros.
4 months?
Yes, it's been a long 4 months.
God, I can't.
It's actually flown by.
It hasn't, though. For me, it feels like an eternity.
Want to come to my house? You can babysit.
Speaking of giving birth to things, you gave birth to a baby since Theros.
Yes, I did.
Tell me about the baby.
He's good. His name is Tuk Tuk. Well, that's not his real name, but his nickname is Tuk Tuk. And he's huge for his age. He's 4 months now. Mm-hmm. And he likes to play magic while sitting on my lap. And now he likes, it's going to be hard now because he's almost getting that teething phase. Mm-hmm. So he starts putting things in his mouth and drools all over them. So, and he also likes to projectile vomit.
Ooh.
He's fine. He's happy about it. He just goes, all down the front of him. And you're like, okay.
You've also mentioned he has a penchant for pooping himself.
Yeah, so that's what babies do. I mean, that just happens.
Yeah. I remember Robbie, MTG Color Pie, he and a couple of other parents as well have made comments about the fact that they let their children who are teething chew on, like, old cards or, like, basic lands.
Yeah.
Is that something you're considering?
I don't know. I mean, I'm scared of, like, paper cuts or something, like, in your mouth. Like, nah, I don't know. I guess it would be fine.
I would be worried about, like, all the dyes and all the things that go into the cards. Like, maybe that would, you know, rub off or something.
Well, how about you go try to eat a magic card and we'll figure it out. Like you pay, I don't know. I think magic cards are pretty sturdy, but the dye doesn't go everywhere. Maybe try to eat it.
I don't know. I do have a pile of cards that are unsleeved on my computer desk, and I'm tempted to, like, nosh on one while you're talking.
There's got to be something on an island. I cleaned everything. I've been, like, making sure everything's clean, so everything's put away.
Has motherhood been everything you thought it would be?
Yes. It is quite wonderful and delightful. It's just taken a toll on the whole magic thing.
What would you say you miss the most?
Probably getting to play, like, at the store or something. It's like, I can't go anywhere. Like, as a mom, like, I'm breastfeeding him. So it's like, I can't just go for like 5 hours and be like, oh, you guys can have a bottle. Like, I either have to feed him or pump or something. So it definitely, like, cuts into all that. I mean, for a guy, for a new dad, like, they can go for like 5 hours and go, you know, get away. And they're, you know, significant other can take care of the baby, but as a mom, it's a bit harder. It's harder to figure it out, like, what to do. Like, I'm going to the pre-release on Saturday, so I have to figure out something.
It's funny, because when I went to see you for SEG Philly, you guys were having people over at your place once in a while for, like, drafts and stuff. Are you able to, is it easier to do that with the baby, or is that even trouble?
Yeah. Okay. No. They can definitely come over. We've definitely had people come over for drafting, but it's been harder because, like, when he just started daycare in the beginning of January, so we've been getting sick. Uh-huh. He's fine, baby's fine. We've been getting sick, so, like, I'll get sick and then my husband will get sick and then I'll get sick again. It's the next year and a half of sickness.
If you don't mind me asking, and without, like, giving away, like, specific numbers, is daycare as expensive as I've heard it is?
Yes.
Okay. Because I work for a bank, and specifically I work with people who are falling behind on their mortgages. And when they request help from us, they have to fill out what's called a hardship affidavit, and they have to fill out an expense breakdown. And I remember when I first started working there, and people would send us things, and, you know, you're already sort of biased against them because they're, like, you know, deeply, deeply in default and deeply in foreclosure. And some people will play the system and do whatever they can to get help and get modified. And there were times where I would see people, and I'd be on the phone with them, and I'd be like, really, Mr. Jones, you spend $800 a month on child care, whatever. And then they would send me the statements and they would send me the bills, and I'd be like, for your one baby? Like, holy shit.
Yeah,
yeah, and
I think it's higher than that. He got up.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, obviously it depends what area where you live, mm-hmm. but yeah.
That's crazy.
It's like a mortgage payment.
Yeah. And then I have a friend, my friend Seraphis.
That's just one baby. And if you have two babies, they're like, oh, you can have a 10% discount. And you're like, That does nothing for me.
I know my friend Seraphis, he has two children, and he was talking about how his daughter is at a daycare where for every minute that he's late, he gets charged by the minute.
By the minute. You do not want to be late.
Wow. I have to wonder, like, what does that get you? Like, so they feed them, obviously. I mean, do they play with them? Is there, like, a nice space? Like, what does that money get you?
Yeah. I mean, they take care of them. They change their diaper. Like, they have to change their diaper at least every 2 hours if it's not wet, which is, like, weird because it's always wet, so it doesn't matter. They play with them and they, like, do stuff. Like, you know, make sure they have tummy time and all the developmental things, and make sure they take a nap in the crib and feed them all and do other stuff. That's just for, like, the little itty-bitty babies who can't, like, do anything. Mm-hmm. They all just, like, flail on the ground.
Was it hard being away from him? Like, when you had to go back to work and you spent, you know, you had 3 months with him, right?
Yeah.
And then to have to do that?
It wasn't that hard because I get to just do 40 hours a week with my work. I think if I had to work more, it'd be different. I changed my job so I can work. I'm closer to home, so I'm out like 20 minutes away. And I have a schedule set so that I'm still getting him early. I go into work early and I can get home early enough so I can still have all this time to play with him. So, like, that all helps, I think. The transition and going back to work. So I still get the best of all the worlds.
How has your husband taken to being a new dad?
Pretty good. He gets to sleep through the night, so I don't know.
You said that, and I was like, what a jerk.
Well, what is he going to do?
Right.
He can't do anything. Nothing's coming out of him. There's no food out of him.
I have to say, I love how you've been indoctrinating Tuk Tuk in magic at an early age. I saw the magic onesie that had the five colors on it, and I was like, that is genius.
Oh, my sister got that, and like she got it specially made, or she ordered it from like Etsy or something, and it's 12 months. So he's not in it yet. He can't wear it yet. Mm-hmm. There will definitely be more pictures of him wearing that.
Well, he is adorable, and I know I've told you that before, and his faces are what kill me.
Yeah.
I remember the picture where he was sitting in your lap and he has this just this evil grin on his face as if he can see your hand, like, oh, it was great.
It's my legacy deck too, so you gotta be careful with that. But he has his own binder now. My friend got him a binder for Christmas. And so he has all these promos and he has some lands. He already has his a Savannah, so he's getting his jewels.
I don't even have a Savannah.
I had to get him a pro. He got that before he's one week old, so.
What are you going to do if he grows up and doesn't even want to play Magic?
There's going to be some issues. He's getting a box of every set. So he already has his box of Theros. I've already pre-ordered his box of Born of the Gods.
Wow.
So he's going to block. He has the holiday box. Mm-hmm. So I put all the Theros decks in there, or the packs. So they're all waiting. I'm going to get a promo from pre-release, so he'll have that.
Now, I know I ask you this every time you come on the show, and you're probably sick of it, but do you ever miss the Genisodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss podcasting and talking to people, but right now, like, obviously, like, there's just no time. Mm-hmm. Like, I just put him down to sleep, and I'm like, I could go to bed right now, but I have to go on the show.
Well, your show is still a big hit. Like I said, I tend to stock iTunes regularly just to see how my own show is doing. And they have the top 200 podcast section. And I don't think the Genisodes has ever fallen off of the top 200. So your show is still a big hit. I don't even think you have any bad reviews. I think, you know, you did go out on top. And I think if you ever were to go back, there's certainly an audience for you. Because literally, I look at that list every day and you've never fallen off that list. I still see that little panda there. And,
panda.
Yeah.
No, it was fun. I did like going out on top, and like when I did, you know, getting ready for the baby. It's just another thing in life that I get to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I did the podcast for like 2.5 years, and you know, down and move on to the next part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could say. I wish I could say my last 4 months were exciting. I think I went to Gathering Magic, as you know, and I've been dating. You know, and I've been good though. I haven't made out with anybody at events. I've been good.
That was before the last time I came on, right?
Yeah, the last time I made out with somebody at an event was the WMCQ.
So that was back in the summer.
Yeah, it was in June. So I've been good. And yeah, other than that, it's just been working, the podcast. The podcast has taken off. I think I have 24 five-star reviews on iTunes.
Need to have a contest.
Do we?
Well, you should. You should have a contest.
What's the contest?
I don't know. See, when to get my reviews, because I wanted people to review my show. Oh no, I think we did it for a trap cast when I was on the other podcast. We asked for reviews, and then we gave a prize. So what? Any? We randomly picked a reviewer, and then we gave him a prize. But we
Interesting.
never told them to like what to rate us.
Okay.
So, well, on the trap cast, it was ridiculous. So that was a funny show. I don't think you've ever listened to it, but.
No, but I kind of want to. You speak really fondly of it. Is it still available? Okay.
Still up there. It's ridiculous nonsense of gaming. Like, so it was my friend George and Sarah and Brant, and we just bullshitted.
Is this the Sarah that's on Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, I like her.
Yes, you
Yeah.
should listen to Shotcast.
Okay.
Find some episodes.
I'll do that tomorrow when I'm at work then. Let me write that down on my little notepad here.
It
So.
is not work.
Oh, I have
Good work.
earbuds.
Good. Might want to turn it down too.
I've been on heavy meta for God's sakes. Like I'm usually the reason people don't listen to podcasts at work. So it'll be
Okay.
nice to be the reason, for once, or not to be the reason for once. But I did pick up one thing in the last couple months since we talked. I know you and I have discovered certain TV shows, like you plowed through Buffy and all that stuff. And
Yeah. I got through lots of TV while on maternity leave.
are you? Did you get all the way through Buffy, like to the finale?
No,
Okay.
we are in the middle of the last season. We just started the last season.
Okay.
So I can only get an episode or two now and then.
Yeah. The last season
Strike.
wasn't that great.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's in the new high school. It's kind of it. But I gotta finish it, so I'm not gonna like just drop it.
Yeah. I discovered my new guilty pleasure is Murder, She Wrote.
No, you're always like, I'm watching Murder, She Wrote. I'm like, how old are you?
I love about it is
Are you eating oatmeal while you're watching?
No, I'm eating Cheetos. Okay, so there's two things I love about Murder, She Wrote, and I will tell you what they are. Number one, I can never figure out who the murderer is. Like I can watch Law and Order, and I can watch like CSI, and within the first 15, 20 minutes, I know who the killer is. I'm pretty astute like that, or maybe they just make it so obvious. But when I watch Murder, She Wrote, I will sit there in an upright position, looking very closely at the screen, making sure I don't miss anything. And then when Jessica does the big accusation at the end, I'm always stumped. I'm just like, him? Like what? Like I never get it. I think I'm on the third season so far. I think I've correctly guessed one. I've been wrong every single time otherwise. Like
Is it on
completely wrong.
Netflix?
Yes, there's all 12
Okay.
seasons. 12
So maybe
seasons.
what? Of how many? 13 episodes or 23 or 22?
Like 20. Like it's a long-running
Ugh,
show.
that's long.
I know.
It took
And
me forever to get through Fringe. And
oh,
that
I
was only
know.
5 seasons.
Yeah. The other thing I love about the show is the weirdest shit happens on that show. So there was one episode where Jessica, the character Jessica Fletcher, she gets off a plane and she's holding a Chinese baby. It gets better. And there's two Chinese nuns waiting for her once she leaves the airplane. So like there's that little, the walkway you walk towards, and then someone's waiting for you in the waiting area. And she gives them the Chinese baby, speaks to them in Chinese, and then just keeps going. There's no explanation for why she has the Chinese baby, why the nuns are expecting the Chinese baby. She just gets off the plane, dumps the baby, says a little go mao, and then looks at the guy and goes, "Oh, I'm great. I'm glad to be here." And it's like, dude, is anyone going to ask what the baby's? What's up with the baby? No one says
Maybe the
anything.
baby was traveling, like without anybody, and she was kind enough, instead of the flight attendants, who probably had to go catch another plane, to go deliver the baby to the nuns.
I don't know. I just sat there flabbergasted. Like, is anybody going to ask about the baby? And then there was an episode that I watched. I went to Minneapolis last weekend for a vacation, and I took a Greyhound. And as luck would have it, the next episode on the queue was called Murder Takes a Bus, which is great to watch when you're about to get on a bus. And a guy dies by getting stabbed in the neck with a screwdriver.
Nice.
Because I bring screwdrivers on buses. I don't know about you. And then come to find out that the guy was already dead when he got stabbed in the neck with a screwdriver. It gets better. The same guy killed him twice. And he thought that by confessing to the second murder, it would obscure the fact that he was responsible for the first murder. And again, people act like it's just perfectly, like, that's the greatest alibi in the world. It's just like, is anyone gonna call? No. Like, it's just so out there. And I love it. I'm totally hooked. So, So we've been talking about some stuff that's been going down, and one of the big
Yeah.
things is the GP schedule. I'm going to see you in April.
Yay, so exciting.
GP Philly.
Sealed. I can actually play it. I don't have to get a standard deck.
Now, I want you to know that this is an indication of how much I love you, because I have not enjoyed Theros Sealed so far, but I love you enough.
Well, Theros will be all three sets. So it'll be two of each.
I know, but I'm just saying, as
So it'll be okay. It'll be okay. It's gonna get better, I
I know.
promise.
I just want you to know that if it were anybody else, if anybody else were like, "Hey, Aaron, there's a sealed GP," I'd be like, "Nope." But because it's you, I will do
And all the other people in Philly love you for it.
it.
All your other magic friends.
And we've agreed that we're going to wear heels for the event.
Yes.
We are. I need a new pair of heels.
A cute outfit.
Yeah, what do we, I mean, are we doing a little booby? Are we doing a
I don't
little
know. I mean, you have to see what the weather's like. It's always cold too, so you always have to have like a jacket or some long sleeve something.
How about a blazer?
Could wear blazers.
Well, 'cause we've got, I mean, you've got your new mommy boobies. And I've got my
Yeah.
new tranny boobies, so there's just it, they need to come out.
We could do blazers. I'd have to find one that fits.
That's true. And then you said you're going to a New Jersey GP.
Yeah, the legacy one.
A
So
legacy
I have
GP?
to play legacy before November.
We
I
literally.
have the deck. I have the deck. Oh, my cards are supposed to come in. I bought my last two polluted deltas. I should find out where they are. But I'll have a deck.
How common are legacy GPs? Not very.
No, there's like one.
Really? Wow. Yeah, there was a Facebook post the other day on a local Milwaukee group, and somebody had just moved here, and he was asking where he could play Legacy here. And the reality is, in Milwaukee, there's nowhere to play Legacy, which is really freaking sad because I would love to. There's a couple of places like 2 hours away that have Legacy nights, but that's too far away for a Legacy night during the week. And
Yeah.
yeah, we absolutely there's nowhere here to play Legacy. It's such a fucking bummer.
Yeah, my group of friends, we all have legacy decks, and I made a ton of proxy decks before Tuck Tuck was born. Like during my 2 weeks off that I had before, I just made legacy decks using like printouts of all the cards.
There is barely anywhere around here to even
But
play
yeah, that's
modern.
it.
Like modern is not even really supported here. Like it's really like Milwaukee is very standard. EDH gets a lot of love, but if you want to play any of the other formats, you're sort of out of luck, which is really depressing.
Yeah, it's tough to practice, especially when there's a bunch of like GP Richmond coming up in Boston, the modern ones. So you got to find a way to like get some practice in.
Yeah, I think the only practice I'm actually just committed to going to GP Richmond. I just got the vacation time approved today. And yeah, really the only experience I'm getting is FNM, but my FNM is modern is 4 rounds, and it's a little more competitive. Like the better players tend to gravitate towards modern, so I really feel like I am being challenged. So as of right now, that's the only practice I have, but I'm learning so much every Friday night that I go, and I feel like I'm getting a little bit better and a little more familiar with the format, and I'm excited. I have never wanted to go to a modern GP before, but now I really can't wait.
Yeah, I wish I could go to more GPs, but it's just the way that things are working out with the baby that I can definitely I could do GP Philly because you're coming out. I could do GP New Jersey because it's close, so it's like during the day. I can leave bottles for him and get him babysat or but it's hard. I can't like just go to Richmond and be like, let's go, everybody. I can't play with Tuck Tuck in my arms.
Can't you get that little thing that's like the
I
chest?
can, but if you feed them like, well, yeah, it's harder to feed them like within that seated thing. I mean, you can, but like in the baby Bajorn or the Ergo baby that you put on, like he doesn't want to sit there.
Did you say Bajoran?
It's like baby Bajorn,
I thought it was
like a
Bjorn.
Swedish. I don't know, Bjorn. Bjorn.
You said Bajoran, and I thought of Star Trek.
There's a J in there. You put it on, you put the baby in there.
Your pouch.
Yeah, it's from a marsupial pouch.
Just make sure that he's not a pouch potato.
No.
Wasn't that joke terrible?
It was.
I'm actually excited. This is the first year I will be able to go to many GPs. I spent a lot of time
Yeah.
last year going to SCG events, and that's not to say that they're bad necessarily, but like I literally have only been to one GP. Ever. I went to GP Chicago. Even then, I didn't play in the main event because it was modern at the time, and I wasn't playing modern, and I played inside events and lost terribly. But this is the year I really want to do them all. So as of right now, for the next 6 months, I'll be going to a GP every month. So in March, I'll be going to GP Richmond, and I'll be staying with our friends Katie and Matt, which should be awesome. And Renee is supposed to be driving down. Rumor has it that Jack LaCroix might even come up for it or go down for
Ooh.
it. It's going to be pretty star-studded. Anthony Lowry will be there. Chapin's going to have like a master class on how to build decks and shit. There's going to be like some token signing going on, so that's going to be a huge event. April is you, GP Philly. May is GP Minneapolis, which is modern. So I'll be able to visit some friends up there that I just recently made. June is GP Chicago, and hopefully I don't hate standard anymore by then so I can play. Because it'd be pretty funny if it was standard in Chicago and I was like, I totally don't play anymore. And then I'd feel like an asshole.
Well, you
July.
could always just make some like crazy deck and just destroy people's days.
Oh, yeah. And of course, the side events give you so much to do as well. And then July is GP Boston. Boston, I'm very excited about that. I actually know quite a few Canadians that are coming down for GP Boston.
Nice.
And I guess it's Jeebus's birthday. So all like the bro deals guys are like, oh god, Jeebus, and they're like planning shit. So that's gonna be crazy. I've never met Jeebus, so I have no idea what it would be like if we met each other. I've heard he's very different than his online persona, so we may end up being friends. I don't know. And then August is GP Portland, which we just decided is going to be the unofficial GP vagina. If you're not familiar, Heather's been trying to organize as many Magic playing women as possible to a single GP. And as luck would have it, there are enough of them already going to Portland where Heather and I were like, fuck it, let's bring them all there. So Heather's going, I'm going, Tifa will be there, Liz will be there, MJ Scott will be there, Adrian's probably going to come out. We're trying to get Katie to come out, all the women. So if you're a
Yay!
Magic playing woman and you want a GP to go to and you want to be with other Magic playing women, GP Portland is going to be awesome. Team Sealed. The idea of teams of women getting together and play and kick guys' asses sounds like a lot of fun.
I wish I could go.
Yeah, it's
I
gonna be a lot of fun.
cannot.
I know. I'd love to be on a team with
I
you.
know. I can't go to like I can't even do, you know, like at my own store, like just play at like FNM. Like I can't just bring the baby. Like even if he was awake or like, you know, if he was at like noon on a Saturday, like I can't do that to an opponent. Like at my house, sure. Like I can be like, hey, could you shuffle my deck? Because I only have one hand because I'm feeding him. Like I sit there breastfeeding him when I'm at my house. Like, of course. Like, and it's fun because we're all just playing and magic and stuff, but not like competitively. I can't do that.
So wait a minute. So when you're playing at home, you're literally just like pumping and playing, like.
No, he's there. He's sitting in my lap. I'm feeding him.
Oh, okay. I thought you
He's
were
like,
thinking.
nom, 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 nom. I'm like, go. They're like, he's like, nah, nah, nah. I'm like, I attack with my 4/4. You're dead. Yeah.
Nom,
Yeah. He's like making all this noise, and my friends are like, what?
See, I would be worried if it were me that, like, I understand that your breast is covered through most of it. I assume you're not just.
But yeah, I put a little blanket over my
Right.
shoulder. Like I cover it up.
But it'd be my luck that, like, I would be playing that and I would do something. I could make a wrong move or somebody would play something and I would rush to, like, cast a counter spell. You know how it is when you really want to counter something where you're like, oh, and you windmill slam it down. It'd be my luck that I would get so excited that I'd, like, lose the blanket and then my boobie would just fly out, like, whoops! It was just.
And your baby's like, where did it
Or more importantly, just flash everybody there, like, oh, sorry, force of will.
It's okay. When you
Something
become a
else.
mom, it becomes a little different. It's like it's a feeding thing. It's not like some like sexy thing. I don't know.
Well, you still don't
It
want everybody
changes.
seeing
It
your
changes.
boob
Well,
up
yeah.
there, like.
Yeah. But there's a point where you just don't give a fuck. Like you're covered in puke. Poop and other stuff. Like it just doesn't matter. Like you just wipe it off and you just keep going. Like
Good
you
time.
stop, you're like, oh my god, I have to change my shirt. Because guess what? You're gonna go through a lot more shirts. You might as well just leave it on. It's already dirty. Any parent knows that.
That's a good attitude to have. So something
Yeah.
else has been going on with our starship, our mothership, Star City
Magic.
Games.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Girl. All right. So it all started a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, a week ago. I was in
GP,
Minneapolis.
right? It was at the GP.
Yeah, I was in Minneapolis at the time, and they made an announcement that, or there was an announcement on Channel Fireball that they were forming a second team Channel Fireball for the Pro Tour. And people noticed that a lot of this new team were made up of Star City's team members, like Reed Duke, Sam Black, Brad Nelson. And people were like, so what's going on here? And it was the talk of Twitter. And then
it's hard to find information, too, because like I remember I saw it like on Twitter. It came up during the GP, like they announced it at the GP. But then I couldn't find any information. It was just like Channel Fireball had this thing like CR team. And I'm like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Are they like writing? Are they like playing? What is going on?
Well, I will tell you.
I was really hard to find stuff. And you're like, Jen, you had a rock. I'm like, no, I know that it's going on. I just can't. I don't have any the rest of the information. I couldn't find anything.
Okay. So from what I understand, the majority of the people affected are only on the team. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's like me going on heavy meta. It doesn't mean that I'm on Mana Deprived. It doesn't mean that I'm on heavy meta or that I'm representing face-to-face games. It just means I was on their show. We just made a show together. That's all it means. That's sort of like what it means for this. Like, Channel Fireball is sponsoring this team. Mm-hmm. I assume that they're, you know, covering hotel costs or covering any fees that might come up or whatever. I know a lot of those guys like to rent houses and rent rooms while they play test or whatever. So I'd imagine Channel Fireball's footing the bill for that. And from what I gather, Star City cut funding for that. Like, they just decided they didn't want to be in that game anymore. Like, they didn't want to have a team.
They didn't want to have a team. Okay.
Exactly. Because I know the next question that came up was people were like, oh, well, maybe they'll still have a team, but they'll have, you know, these guys on it. And it was like, well, no, Todd Anderson is on a team already. Chris Van Meter's on a team already. Like, there's just nobody to fill that void. So from what I gather, there's just no Star City team at all. They're just out of that game. And then came the question of, there were rumors that some of these guys were completely defecting, like they were going to write for Channel Fireball 2. From what I was told from numerous sources, Zvi, Reed, and Huey are the only ones that are going to be writing for Channel Fireball. Everybody else is simply just going to be on the team. So Reed posted his farewell post yesterday, nothing about Channel Fireball. Like, he made it seem like he was just done. So
I think he put it in Twitter or something that he was, or like, you'll see me.
I'm not sure. I know I left a comment, and I had made a comment on Twitter, and people were like, well, Aaron, you know he's going to Channel Fireball. And I was like, until I see him there, I don't know anything. Like, I could be wrong, but it is very shocking to see this, you know, because for so long, Team Channel Fireball or Team Star City had the biggest names, you know, Kibler, mm-hmm. Chapin, you know, Owen, you know, whatever. And now they don't, they have no team. And, you know, so it's a big deal. And then they're losing three amazing writers who are a lot of the reason that I, you know, had a premium account, you mm-hmm. know, and there's definitely something there where people want to know what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And then came the big bombshell of Ruben Bressler, my friend, Deck Tees alumnus, was let go. He announced yesterday he'd been fired. And
sad panda face.
Yeah, and since then, Twitter and Facebook have been buzzing with, you know, what happened, and especially one on top of the other. Like, you know, when Reed Duke says a farewell mm-hmm. post, and then Ruben says he's out, people are just like, why? What's going on here? Like, people want to know what's going on. They mm-hmm. want to know if Star City is sort of in danger. They want to know what's going on. And I don't know. Like, do you think it's anything to worry about, or do you think this is just sort of business as usual?
I think if anything, something's going on, like they're changing stuff up, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're getting really big with the events. You know, they have a couple of GPs, like they're hosting the GPs. They're putting a lot more into, you know, the coverage and the events every weekend. So it could just be, you know, like putting things together and you know, if people are leaving, like Reed, I think it's, you know, maybe just they came to a different opportunity. Same with you. You went to Gathering Magic. It's just an opportunity. You have to take it mm-hmm. And go somewhere. So I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, if everybody left, then yes, there would be something wrong. But hopefully it opens up some more room for other writers and new, you know, move some of the regular people over to premium and then bring in new writers who are within the Magic community. Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to look at it. I guess the thing that's so concerning to me is so many of these faces are so synonymous with SCG. Like, you know, you think of Ruben and you think of the interviews and you think of somebody who does the deck techs, and, you know, they already cut so many of the commentators. Like, you know, the commentators right now that are full time is Matthias, Patrick, and Cedric. Those are the three ones that I think are the most frequent commentators. Pasco's not on board anymore. Shahan, Oh God, Sarani, Shaheen. He's not on anymore. Ricky
It's
Kobayashi.
expensive.
Is
So
it?
to send them, I mean, to send them to every week to put them in a hotel, probably. Because it's a job, I'm guessing that SEG pays for their hotel rooms and food and,
Sure.
room and board, to go and fly every weekend. Because it's like they have to go out on Friday and come back on like Monday. That's a lot. That's and to always be changing up. I mean, if you have you have a couple people full time all the time every weekend, where they have off a couple weekends here and there, then you get consistency and, it's not as expensive as sending like 10 different people places.
Yeah, it's just a little, it's just so weird because, like I said, they Glenn Jones and then just so many of these faces that when you think of SCG, you think of these people and they're not there anymore. And it does lead people to think, well, why would I come back? Like if Reed's not writing for you and then Huey's not writing for you and you don't have Ruben where's the appeal there? And it just seems like it's a little risky. If this fresh meat they plan on bringing in isn't as appealing and people don't take to them very well, it seems like it could blow up. So.
I don't think they're going to be going anywhere, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they have all these events planned.
Do you think that business is still as good as we thought? Like, I mean, there's a lot of good competition out there. Like, there are other stores that can provide you just as good of service or not better, or, they have more cards. Or I have to say, they've definitely taken some dings to their reputation in terms of there have been accusations of price gouging and, them sort of just buying out cards and being really unscrupulous. Like, do you think that might be it? That maybe they're not doing as well as we thought?
They have to be making a lot of money from these events. They have an event like every weekend. And how many people go? Like 100. Like there was like 500 or like 400 people at the Legacy event last Sunday. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
they have them every week.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just like I said, that was just the first thing I thought of is, maybe things aren't as rosy anymore. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's
And
definitely interesting.
I don't think we'll ever know.
That's the other thing too is the people that have left Star City we've heard nothing about. Like I don't know what happened where they feel the need to not say anything, but when the Lauren Lee thing went down, like I heard that was incredibly messy and she has yet to open up about that and nobody else really opened up about it either. And even other people who have been let go or haven't been renewed, are really loath to say anything bad about it either. So it's interesting how nothing comes out about it. Not even like speculation. Like it's just even this Ruben thing, it's like there have been no leaks. I mean, I've probed everybody I know, and literally, and got nothing. And I mean, actually, I did hear a couple of things, but they were so like out there and fantastical where I just didn't really pay it any mind. But it's been pretty tight, if nothing's getting out. And that's really curious, especially in social media and with the community being as small as it is, you would think somebody would say something and
Yeah.
nobody's talking.
Well, I think you don't really want to burn bridges. There's only so many places you can go if you want to keep writing or, doing stuff, or if you want to go then play Magic somewhere. Like, there's a lot of people playing Magic and following like you. Like when you're on SCG, like people follow you and you don't want to like create a mob, and you also, I mean, like you want to stay classy, I think. So
That's true.
don't want to burn your bridges, and because you never know, they could always go back.
That's
So,
true. Never, never say never.
yeah.
So speaking of burning bridges and other destruction type things, Born of the Gods is coming.
Yay! New stuff!
And we need it. Do
Yes.
we ever? Standard is stale as hell.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Let's just talk about Born of the Gods right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've got some new mechanics. We've got the first one of Inspired. So if I'm understanding this right, I know you had mentioned some complicated stack things.
Yes, because I typed up. Do you want me to explain it?
Yeah, because I'm
Okay,
not really getting it.
so Inspired, those cards. Let me find an Inspired card.
Painseer.
Okay, let's find Painseer. So, okay, so it says for Painseer, whenever Painseer becomes untapped, reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to the card's converted mana cost. So basically, what Inspired is when your dude becomes untapped, you get something. Something happens. So if you have a bunch of these Inspired people out, and they all untap because you all you untap them all at the same time. All those abilities, they go on the stack, and you decide what order to put them on the stack. Mm. And the last one on top of the stack is the first one that happens.
Interesting.
And also, you know, any upkeep triggers that happen too, they all happen at the same time.
Okay, so let me try to run this past you. So let's say I have a Painseer and a Servant of Timurat. And Servant of Timurat has an inspired ability, and his thing says whenever he becomes untapped, each opponent loses one life. You gain life equal to the life loss. So, like, let's say okay. You're really low on life.
Okay, yep.
And you've got a Painseer and you've got your Servant, and you're worried that your Painseer, if you whatever you draw, you're worried it might kill you. Mm-hmm. So you can choose to go, okay, I'm going to do Servant of Timurat first, get that one life padding.
And so the way you want to stack it, though, is you'd put Painseer on the bottom, and then you'd stack your Servant on top. So your Servant goes off first.
Oh, okay.
And then your Painseer.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like you're making a stack of pancakes.
Okay.
So you put the Painseer on the bottom, and then you put the Servant on top, and you can't get to the Painseer until you eat the Servant.
Okay.
There's like a big stack of pancakes, blackjacks. So the first one, when you stack them up, the first one comes off.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I've actually had that problem with the stack before where I assumed because mm-hmm. something was on the bottom, that means it went first.
Mm-mm,
but your pancake metaphor is showing me something different, which is good. So yes. I get it now. Okay. So that's
what happens.
Okay.
You get to choose. In the order.
Okay.
So that's good.
Okay. Do we like Inspire? Do we think it's going to make a difference or it's going to make a splash?
In Standard or in Limited?
Sure.
I think in Limited, you know, in the draft stuff, the set is set to, like, with a lot of untapping and stuff. I mean, you don't get the stuff right away because mm-hmm. you have to actually attack or tap it in some way before you can untap it. But it's interesting. It's cool. If they survive to the untapped phase.
Do you think it's something you're going to want to, like, go all in on? Like, you're going to want a lot of Inspired guys? Or do you think it's something where if you happen to have one in your deck, cool?
If you happen to take every single Springleaf Drum, then yeah. If you just first pick Springleaf Drum Inspired person, we're cool. Like, I don't know if Inspired is the way you definitely want to go in, but because, like, you don't get it till, like, the third time,
right?
Because your guy comes in, and unless you can Springleaf Drum him to tap him, but if not, then he can't attack because he has sickness, mm-hmm. summoning sickness, so you can't do anything.
Yeah,
so he's a wait. You're like, ah, and they could be dead by that time. Mm-hmm. Like,
there's a one Inspired creature that I like. There's a multicolored harpy, like a zombie siren, mm-hmm. and she has 2/1 flying Inspired, and whenever she becomes untapped, your opponent discards a card and then puts the top card of their library in their graveyard. Especially in Limited settings where there's really not early flyers, like, I can see her possibly getting untapped a couple of times and having some fun with her.
Yeah, especially she's flying too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Well, I know with Heroic, you kind of wanted to go all in on that. Like, if you could be, if you could target lots of things and then those things can help your other things, that was a good plan to go all in on. But we mm-hmm. don't think Inspired you're going to do that.
No.
Okay.
I mean, if I have a couple good Inspired cards, I think they definitely add to your deck. But I don't think you want to go all in on Inspired. It's just too long.
Yeah.
It's just.
All right. So next up is Tribute.
Yeah.
All right. So tribute is when, okay, so basically if I'm understanding this correctly, you play a creature and then you give your opponent a choice. And if they pay the tribute, mm-hmm. You basically just put some counters on the guy. So it kind of reminds me of Montres a little bit. If they don't pay the tribute, something happens. Like, you have to destroy an enchantment or sacrifice a creature. What do you think about tribute?
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's going to slow down the game a little bit. I mean, because how does it trigger? Like, I think you have to ask, like, as the player controlling the card, I think you have to ask your opponent to pay. Like, you can't just put it down and then not say anything and then just go to the, like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I don't know how fast you have to be, like, oh my god, just I pay the tribute. Like, Like, do you have to start, like, throwing things at them? Like, so you get in before they're like, oh, well, you didn't say anything, like, a second ago, so now you missed it. Like, where is that?
I was going to make a really bad joke and say, so you're going to pull a Brad Nelson? Terrible.
Seriously.
Right? Yeah. This is something I've heard a lot of people say, that Tribute is going to reward people for good decision making, sort of like Scry does, where, yes. You know, if somebody doesn't know what to scry and how to look at their hand and determine what they need, Scry is a very useless mechanic to you. But if you're really hip to that and you're able to sort of know what you need and dig for it, Scry is really good. I think the same is going to be for Tribute. You know, if your opponent knows what's going on and what they can handle, you know, it's going to be fine. But if you have an opponent who's like, okay, it's just, you know, they're going to end up
being
a bit
worse.
You
might have +2/+2. A lot of people's going to swing back and, you know, kill you. Sure. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. So that's going to reward, you know, people who maybe aren't the brightest.
I think Tribute's, I mean, it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't sometimes, which is like a horrible feeling when you see a card come down and you have a choice to do something, but either one you do, it's like,
I've also heard people who don't like Tribute say the reason why they don't like it is because they don't like giving their opponent options. They'd rather just do what they want the card to do and not have the opponent control that, because the opponent may do something they don't want it to do, and then it just has to happen. So that's the only criticism I've heard about it.
Yeah. Having your opponent do stuff, it makes it a lot softer.
Yeah.
But it should be interesting how it plays out.
Absolutely. So the old favorites are coming back. Scry, Heroic, Devotion, Bestow. No Monstrous this time.
Yeah, maybe that one just didn't work out.
Yeah. I actually really like Monstrous. That was one of those abilities that, you know, I thought
that really took off in Standard, too.
Oh, yeah. I know Polukranos was popular for a while, and I didn't see what the fuss was about it. Like, I was just like, it's a 5/5. Like, you can chump it. What's the big deal? And then I started playing Kibler's Golgari midrange for a couple of weeks, you know, during my last gasps of Standard. And when I really saw it, especially with, like, a couple Caryatids in play, it's fucking fun. And I was just like, okay, I get it. You know? especially when you can play it as an instant, you know, especially I saw some people like giving it death touch, and or people like that would give the creature it was targeting death touch, and then all sorts of silliness would happen. And I have a really new respect for that card, actually. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So you made a comment about archetypes, two abilities that grant a keyword ability to all of your creatures and makes your opponent's creatures lose that keyword. Oh, okay.
It's the archetypes of the different colors.
Those are insane.
Yeah, where'd it go?
There's the green one.
Yeah, there's the green one. Yeah, there's Hexproof. There's Flying. The red one gives...
Trample. The white one gives First Strike. That is crazy. Black
the
one
black
is Death
one
Touch.
Black one gives Death Touch, yeah.
Yeah. I like those. Those are crazy as hell.
Yeah, and so if you both have one of the same out, so if you both have, like, the archetype of Imagination out, none of your creatures have Flying. Like, it just cancels it out. Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah. I definitely think the white one and the red one are scary, because the white one, I mean, you give a lot of white weenies for a strike, and that's really annoying. And then if you give a lot of red, you know, mono red, you know, creatures trample, you know, that can be kind of bothersome too. And I know the green one just sounds like so much not fun. I mean, giving everything hexproof, and especially with how easy it is to ramp into stuff, I don't want to deal with a whole board of hexproof guys. Like, just... No.
The Death Touch one's at the pain in the ass, because you're like, I'm going to kill you. Oh, crap. Like, it's just one little guy, that one sitting there. Now it's Death Touch, and you're like, ugh.
Bitch. Yeah. What is the black one? Does it have a name? Like, what's the name of it?
Archetype?
Finality.
Finality.
At 6, though. Like, no.
They're all at 6.
That's true. No, the white one's 3. The red one's 3. I think the green one's more. The green one's 8. Yeah. So they're not all equal.
Okay.
They're all kind of scary, though.
6/5. Yeah, they're out there.
But in limited, though, I can see you getting them out. No problem. No problem at all. Yeah. Gods, they made the devotion a little higher. You now need 7 to get them off the ground, at least as a creature.
They're 2 colors.
Mm-hmm.
They're 2-color gods,
now,
which are interesting.
Now, help me out with that here. It can be either color, or it needs to be both.
No, total.
Total.
So, like, as long as your devotion to red and black is less than 7. So it's total.
So if, let's say all my devotion is red, is that still okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing I've heard some confusion about is, let's say you have hybrid mana guys, like let's say you have Night Vale Spectre, you have to choose the color of devotion. Like, you can't just say it's both. Is it true?
You can't double count it. Like,
okay.
You can't count it as six. It's
okay.
Three. You get three, and that's it.
Got it. Do you think that increasing the devotion is a good thing or a bad thing? Like, are these gods so good that they had to kind of make it tougher to make them creatures, or do you think it's just sort of silly?
I don't know. I'm reading them now. I'm trying to like think of the other ones.
Well, it's funny to me because, you know, with the exclusion of like Fasa, it's like, you know, a lot of the gods that I knew people were interested in, they weren't really even interested in them as creatures, where it's like, you know, the people who first saw Porphyros, you know, they were like, oh my God, you know, assemble the Legion Porphyros. And they had, you know, they didn't even care whether Porphyros was a creature because they just wanted the ping effect. And the people that were really excited about, you know, Erebos, they just wanted to sort of shut you off in like a mirror match, or they wanted to shut control down. You know, the fact that it was a creature was just sort of gravy. And I feel like that's kind of the same with these gods, where it's like, you know, they have really neat effects, but, you know, they're, you know, that really wasn't what people were going into them for. They wanted the effect. And if they happened to get the devotion out, great.
I think these ones are a little bit stronger. I don't know. But yeah, like your devotion is getting them to become a creature.
Yeah.
So I don't know if like you were saying, like if it even matters if they become a creature.
Yeah. And then we have our new planeswalker, Miss Kiora Lee Simmons, the Crashing Wave.
Yep.
What do we make of her? Do we like her?
Yeah. You do get a draw card. She comes in at two. She's a four for two.
I get a feeling she's going to be one of those that I don't want to. I'm really hesitant to say something about her because I can see her being really good. I don't know where. Like, I have no idea yet, but that's just one of those where it's like, I don't want to write you off just yet.
Like, I think there's a Simic deck out there.
Yeah.
Somewhere coming up.
My first thought when I looked at her was even Bant Control. You know, because I remember Bant
Control. Yeah, something in those colors where it's like Bant or Simic.
Yeah.
You can ramp up into some good stuff.
Yeah, that just seems really problematic. And I don't know. I think it's going to be – I have to say, as a whole, there are more cards in Born of the Gods that I worry about playing against than cards I can see myself playing, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are cards I just don't want to see across the table from me. And I'm just like, oh, no, this is going to hurt. But that's just
like
how
in limited or in standard?
Both. Where I'm just like, oh, I'm dreading seeing some of these cards.
There's definitely limited when you're like – when we're at GP Philly, you're going to be like, bitch, Jen, I hate you so much. Why did I ever come here? Thank God Tuck Tuck is cute. Like, that's what you're going to be saying every game.
Or screw this, I'm leaving with the judge. okay, so now comes the best part. We always talk about our favorite cards. And you had decided that we should do every color, which I'm totally fine with. So why don't you kick this off, Jen, starting with white, favorite card.
Okay, so I had two on white. I like white a lot. Mm-hmm. I have the hero of Iros. Mm-hmm. Iros?
Hercules.
I can't say this.
Hercules?
Yeah. He has the heroic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. And then the Kitty King. I like Kitty King.
Well, you missed one really scary part about Hercules, though.
Hercules!
His auras cost less?
Yeah, that's going to be... I think I would see him in standard.
I do not want to deal with anything even close to Ban Hexproof. Like, no, 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 no. That's a card I really don't want to deal with.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Like, and he's a 2 for 2/2, so if anything else, like, he's already just, like, he's good.
Yeah. And then so. You said Brimaz.
And the Kitty King, because I like kitties.
They're calling him the next hero of Bladehold. You don't remember that card, do you?
I do. No, I have to hold them in foil. I'm scrolling up to make sure I read it. Yeah. Hero of Bladehold, though, like, you get two.
Yeah. I worry about Brimaz. And the only reason why I worry, and I'm usually never Doomblade girl. I very rarely will ever say, you know, die Doomblade. But Black is getting so many good cards in this set. And I don't see Black becoming any less stronger after this. And if Black is a tier one deck, I think it at least bears consideration that if you try and trot him out on turn three, Black's gonna have something to say about that. And I just I don't know, I'm a little leery that people think that he's gonna be the answer to standard, where it's just like, oh,
he's legendary. You can't put him out on like turn three, turn four, turn five, you know, like,
why can't
He's legendary.
No, but you can still get him out on turn three.
Oh, yeah. You definitely get
But I just worry
on
about
turn
some...
three.
I'm just saying, is, you know, I worry about some deck that's going to be like, turn three, Primanth, and Black's going to be like, fuck no. And like, I just don't... I see him having a huge target on his head and just not being able to do what he does. And I worry about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like ways to like... you'd have to have protection of some sort by turn four or something in white.
Especially if that's in your opening hand. Like, and I know, I know Thoughtseize is a terrible, like, factor. Like, you know, you shouldn't go into every hand going, well, what if they have a Thoughtseize? But, you know, they're going in with a turn one Thoughtseize. And then I know they're going to start packing Bioblight. Well, he's a 3-4, but still. You know, I just don't see that being a card they're going to let slide through. Or it's like, okay, we're going to deal with that right now. But I think if you can get him to stick, though, he's very scary.
Yeah.
The white card that I chose is a little predictable, Spirit of the Labyrinth. This was a card that when I first saw it, I didn't get it. I was just like, okay, what's the big deal? I was playing standard.
Oh, it's just going to be such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who play the Eternal formats that are terrified of this card. I have Legacy friends who are bothered by it. Even in Modern, like I'm playing Living End now, and I've been known to sort of cycle a couple times in a turn. And it's like, I'll just, like, I don't think they'd bring it in against me specifically. I think like, they had a more general use, but that's something I don't want to see when I'm trying to cycle my brains out for Living End, you know?
I think with Legacy, though, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where she comes in, if anywhere, because you're not playing her over Stoneforge Mystic. And, I mean, it will go into decks, but I just don't see it. I don't know. It should be interesting to see where Legacy goes.
Yeah.
Who's going to bring it in and what decks? And how much it impacts the format.
Do you think it will? Or has the potential to? Because you know Legacy.
I don't know. Because I play Ant, so with tendrils and everything. So drawing cards is like what I do.
Yeah.
But they aren't going to be having Spirit every, you know, turn two. You know what I mean? Like, I can still win on... It's not, the game's not unwinnable then.
Okay.
It just makes it a pain in the ass. I can still draw a card, you know, like draw my one card a turn. I can, you know, brainstorm on your turn and only to get one and put two back. But like, there's still ways that I can work around it. Mm-hmm. It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I just don't know where it's going to come up in Legacy.
I think and it's funny, is when I first saw the Spirit, I dismissed it for Standard. I was like, Standard has too many ways to deal with it. No way. But then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, if you can get that out early enough against a UW deck, like a control deck like Esper, and they don't have anything in their opening hand because they're so used to their Azorius Charms and Divinations, and, you know, they go through their hand so fast and they're constantly drawing. If you can get that out early enough and there's nothing in their hand already to deal with it, that can be ugly. So I wouldn't rule that out for Standard either.
Plus, I don't know. I think it's gonna have an impact on Standard too.
Yeah, and the art is so freaking cool. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She's
like, I didn't pre-order any cards. I know, gasp. But if I was going to be pre-ordering, because I'm not playing Legacy, I'm not playing Standard. Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna go and spend all the money right now to get the cards. If they're gonna impact the other formats like Modern and Legacy, like I'll trade for them or eventually get it. But she'd be the one that I want four of.
Green, what is your choice?
Green, I have the Courser of Crumpets.
Crumpets?
I don't know.
Crumpets.
Crumpets. Courser of Crumpets. I'm gonna think of that all the time now when I play this. My Crumpet Centaur. You play the top card of your library revealed. You may play the top card of your library if it's a land card. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain one life.
Oof.
And it's 1/2 green. And it's a 2/4, which is pretty interesting. They don't really have that. Yeah.
People are calling it a lesser version of Oracle of Moldiah because you can't actually play another land a turn. It just gives you the option of if you happen to have a land, like let's say it just gives you another land you can play. It doesn't mean you can play two lands. So I think that's going to trip people up a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's a good card. I'm a little worried about it, especially it's so good with Prophet of Kruphix. I mean, Kruphix just sounds like an awesome place. The green card that I'm excited about looks really harmless, but oh my god, Unravel the Aether. Do you know what that does? Oh my goodness. Especially because I've had so many bad run-ins with Mono Blue, and once they get Thassa online, and once she's unblockable, they really think they've got you. And just to be able to be like, No. And especially, I was really thinking about this in the mono black mirrors, because I know that for a while, mono black players were splashing green for the mirrors and things like that, for like, you know, Abrupt Decay and Golgari Charm. And I know Erebos is so important in the mono black mirror that it really can turn the game, aside from Pack Rat, of course. And having this, I can see more mono black players going the Golgari route just to have that little number, because being able to get rid of the Erebos and get back on your gray merchant plan and everything else is really tasty.
And it's instant.
Yes. Ugh.
You need to get four of these in foil. How much are they?
And the art looks really cool too. It's just a really
It's good. They look cool in foil.
Yeah. And I just think it's one of those cards where it's like there seems to be a lot more answers to the gods in this set, because I think people got really confident with the fact that the gods can go anywhere, and it's like, no, bitch.
You can have it for a dollar.
Yeah.
Foil.
Yeah.
There you go.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Blue.
Blue is hard. I'm not a big blue person.
Really? Because everybody I know is going blue for the pre-release.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would too, but I just don't want to play blue. Like, I only get to do so many events. Like, I'm doing all the pre-releases and the two GPs, so I only get to do so much, and I'd rather be playing the colors that I like than being like, I want to win all of this and go blue, but I'm going to go white. Anyway. The blue card is Whelming Wave, because it says octopuses. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, what? How are you going to get everything out? I want to play octopus deck.
There's a lot of krakens floating around. Kraken?
Yeah, there are a lot of krakens.
Yeah. Octopuses at surface. I have to say, though, from a Vorthos standpoint, I love how in the flavor text there's a lot of insinuations that, like, Thassa and Kiora have this rivalry. I think that is so much fun sort of watching that play out. Like, I really look forward to seeing how that goes in the lore.
Girl fight.
I know, right? You know, you've got Thassa with her big old trident and Kiora, because they're so much alike. I think that's going to be really cool if they start fighting for resources. There's some tension there. So the blue one that I chose was a Perplexing Chimera. Which is, the art is so trippy. And then whenever an opponent casts a spell, you can exchange control of the chimera and that spell. And then if you do, you can change targets for that spell, which looks like so much fun. And it's so trippy. And I could see myself going blue.
So after you give it to the other person, whenever then you cast the next spell, then they can do the same thing back to you, and it goes back and forth.
I didn't even think of that. Shut up. That reminds me of what is that card, Conjured Currency? Isn't that one where you're constantly I didn't even think of it till you brought it up. Oh, that's crazy. Red.
Yes, let me go down to red. I picked Fellhide Spirit Binder, which is the Minotaur Shaman, because as we'll talk about later, the Minotaurs look really cool.
People have described him as like a Kiki Jiki ripoff, because he can make tokens.
Yeah, and a gain taste.
Yeah.
That's fun. But also the Forge Stoker Dragon. So, because it's a dragon. Dragons
are
cool.
Cool.
Yes.
He's just burning some dude up.
Like, if I opened either of those, I would hit first pick. Well, I mean, because they're the rare, and they're pretty good for their rares. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes you open your rare, and you're like, son of a bitch. And you just throw it to the next person.
Do you really?
You just look at it and you're like,
so much for signals.
I'll have to pick like something else. Well, when the next person gets the pack, they're like, what? and it makes it all the way around the table. You're like, yeah.
Unless you're me and then you get that card, you're like, this is awesome. Or then you're the idiot playing the bad card because I know nothing and I always pick the bad cards.
It gets a rare. So the little kid's like, I take all the rares. I'm like, oh. Oh, honey.
I'm that little kid.
Don't do that. Do you also take all the foils? Here's a foil land.
No,
sometimes I don't. Foil land is the best card in the pack.
No, I know better than to do that. But I
have taken the foil land and then passed the rest of it. There's nothing wrong with it.
All right, if you say so. The red card that I chose is a card that I would not play because I don't play red and I have dignity and all that stuff, but I just don't want to deal with it. Satyr Fire Dancer. Ugh. That's the card. It's a 1/1. It costs 1 and a red. It's a creature. It's a satyr. Whenever an instant or sorcery spell that you control damages an opponent, Satyr Fire Dancer deals that much damage to a creature that player controls. ugh, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with some kid who's like, Burl's charm, and then they hit you, and then they can, also do 4 damage to something else. I'm just like, oh, no. And,
Yeah, but you gotta have a really spell-heavy deck. It's cute. I just don't know how much it's gonna actually, like, how impactful it will be.
Now, here's the
You know what I mean?
question.
Like, I mean, like in the next turn, so that comes out turn two, and then turn three, do they have a lot of instants? So that you can just start going off and, like, dealing damage to an opponent. It's not even to another creature. It has to go directly to the opponent, to the head.
But that's
So
something I think red players don't really, they'll get to that eventually, you know.
yeah, but I mean, your satyr's a 1/1, so how long? He's gotta stay around long enough.
Here's what I wonder though. So a card like Searing Blood, which I love, so Searing Blood deals 2 damage to a creature, and then when that creature dies, Searing Blood deals 3 damage to the opponent, the controller. Could you then use the Satyr Fire Dancer to then do another 3 damage to something else? Do you get what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Okay, that's crazy.
Goes to the creature's controller. I think
Right.
so. That makes sense to me on how it works.
Oh, that's a nasty little loop. Like do 2 damage to the Mutavault, 3 damage to you, and then oh, 3 damage to something else, and that's instant. Searing Blood is instant. So if you do this instant and the Fire Dancer out, that could be gross. I don't want to face that.
I guess there is some good sorcery, like cheap sorcery instance out there that they can. Can burn you.
Yeah. Black.
Yes, you like black.
I do.
I picked. Where did my black go? Go up, 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 up. Fate Unraveler is the one I picked.
Why?
Because it's a hag. It's 3 and a black. She's a 3/4, and whenever an opponent draws a card, Fate Unraveler deals 1 damage to that player.
Okay.
So that's fun when they draw cards,
Yeah.
because they're gonna always draw cards.
Yeah.
So she comes down and automatically does work on the next upkeep, which is what I like. And it's a 3/4 for 4, so I mean it's getting there. And especially if they draw lots of cards, they do lots of damage.
Interesting. Do you think that's something that might see play against control decks?
I don't know. I mean, like we had blood. Well, oh crap.
Blood
The guy.
Artist?
Yeah, Blood Artist.
Yeah.
We had Blood Artist, and that was in the decks.
Yeah. I could
But he
see
was
that.
also cheap. He was cheapies. He
Yeah.
was like for two, for
Yeah.
one.
And he was a 0/1, and
Yeah, he was out for one. So this is a for four, but she has a little, built-in stuff there. It says a 3/4. She's got a little girth,
A lot of
She can
cards
attack if they want to do it. Like
have.
where the Blood Artist just kind of sat there.
So, the card that I'm excited about for black is one that I think a lot of people have dismissed and foolishly dismissed. Guild. Oh my goodness, I was moist looking at this card. So, 3 and a black sorcery. Amazing art, by the way, amazing flavor. Exile target creature. We're not dealing with damage. We're not dealing with minus something. No, we're exiling your ass. You gone. Doesn't matter if you're a god. It doesn't matter if you have regenerate. Doesn't matter. No, you are exiled out. Out. And then you get to put a colorless artifact token called gold, which a gold token is going to be awesome.
So do you get it
You do, yeah.
then?
So I
Okay.
get
Because
to.
I was like, why would you want to exile someone else's target and put a token for them? I'm
No.
like, I want this token. Did you see the art on the token?
Yeah.
Because I wish they would make that foil.
Yeah.
Because that's.
Yeah, I get to exile your guy, any guy I damn well want. You can't stop me, and you have very little to stop me. And then I get a guy, a little token I can use to sacrifice and get a mana of any color I want. I love that. I think people are so undervaluing that. They're so spoiled with their heroes' downfalls, and they're so spoiled with their, I buy a blight. It's just like, no, I've run into so many gods that I just don't want to fuck with and just be like, oh, Thassa's 5/5, bye, just go. And it's splashable. 3 and a black, there's so many decks you could put that in, and I love it. I think it's great.
The only thing is that it's sorcery, and if it was instant, I think it would be it would just make it even better.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're getting and you're getting 1 mana back, so
Any color.
any
Any
color.
color. Multicolor. Speaking of any color, what multicolor card tickles you?
Because I like the name, it's Chromanticore, and it's all the colors. It's a manicure. I don't even know what a manicure is.
Who's going to use that though? You can't. I know that I heard some EDH people.
Someone's going to use it. I mean, obviously ADH. Like, it goes in your
Look at
ADH
that
bag.
bestow cost though. Two colorless, and then one of every matte. Seven? That's a
You've
bestow.
already paid for the five when you put it out there.
I guess. I don't
I mean,
know.
when you put Guild in your deck, you're going to be able to get this.
We're on to something here. Sand Black,
Yes.
Guild Chromanticore. Get on it.
And
The art's
you
cool.
get all this stuff.
Yeah. Flying First Strike, Vigilance Trample, Lifelink. Holy shit.
If it had haste, that'd be even cooler.
That's something I could see myself maybe like reanimating or something. But
Indestructible.
yeah, I mean, then you'd need Guild because you just can't deal with that. So, the multicolored card that I picked, I don't particularly like the card itself. I think the art is amazing. Ifara's Enlightenment. So pretty. Like, oh my
Oh,
God.
yeah.
Just the art of Ifara herself, or Ephra, is amazing. The way she's holding the little guy. She kind of reminds me of when I used to play WoW. There was a dungeon called Ulduar, and they had their own gods, and they're like they had like a Freya god and things like that. And she kind of reminds me of her because she's just so massive and she's stone, but she looks like she's kind of made out of stars as well, and just beautiful art. If nothing else, I think this set is amazing art. So that's the card I picked for multicolored.
I like this because it goes back to your hand, like when a creature enters the battlefield under your control. Or you may return it to your hand. That's key. Like you don't have to return it because it gives your creature flying. So like you have that, and do you have the Kitty King? So when he comes out and the other kitty, no, not the Kitty King. Is it? Yeah, the Kitty King. And he brings out the other kitty. You don't have to take it back.
There's just bouncing kitties everywhere.
It's bouncing kitties, and you're putting 1/1 stuff on it.
Ugh. Terrible.
Yeah.
Artifacts, not very many, but you do have a favorite.
Springleaf Drum, because that's going to do your untap, and that's going to bring your inspired stuff.
I am
It's
having.
giving your colors of mana. That's going to get your Chromanticore.
I have been having terrible interactions with that card because, like I said, I started playing Modern and Affinity loves Springleaf Drum. And it's funny because I had never run into Springleaf Drum. I didn't even know it was.
So cool when the Affinity people just do it on turn two?
It's so awesome when I have a Cranial Plating for 8 coming at my face on turn 2 on a Blink Moth Nexus. It's awesome. No, I had never seen Springleaf Drum before. I didn't know it was a reprint. I wasn't around when it first came out. And I was starting to get used to it as I was seeing it in these spoilers. And then for the first time the other day, I played Affinity for the first time and he goes Springleaf Drum. And I was like, oh my God, people use that card? Oh my God, this is going to be so, I'm going to win right now. And then he played a second one and I was like, why? This guy's so bad. He's playing two of this card. Oh my God. And then I saw him do it and I had a new respect for that card. I'm like, okay, that's a card I need to worry about.
Yeah, I run four in my affinity deck.
Ugh. Terrible. The artifact that I picked, again, not because it's useful, because it looks cool, Gorgon's Head. There's a bloody, dripping, dead head on the art. You can't, what is
Well, that I
that?
expect that in this set, like in the Theros theme.
It's just so crazy. It's just like that is so like even when I remember when the art for Timurat came out, the Murder King, and people were like horrified that Timurat was holding a decapitated head in the artwork. Like they're just really going for it with this art. Like just fuck it. It's just here's a dripping gore head. Have at it, you know? And finally, your favorite god.
I'm picking Xenagos.
Ugh, of course
He
you
seems
would.
badass.
Yeah. I'm kind of confused about Xenagos, though, from a Vorthos standpoint, because from what I understand from the storyline, Xenagos was a planeswalker, decided he wanted to be a god, broke into the pantheon, and he's now a god. I'm trying to understand why this is a bad thing, because I was watching the trailer, and Xenagos is narrating the trailer, and he seems to not like the other gods because they keep futzing around with humans, and he sounds like he just doesn't really want to deal with humans, which is fine. So he just wants to be a god, and he just wants to party. He wants these revels. Why is that so bad?
Because the gods don't want to party all the
I don't. I'm just trying to
I don't
understand.
know.
I would think Ashiok would be scarier. Like I would think Ashiok would make a better villain, I guess. And I don't know. There's just nothing I'm seeing that I'm not really understanding where the immediate threat is. Like I feel like with other villains we've had, it's been very obvious. Like Nicol Bolas, that's a problem. You know why you have to deal with Nicol Bolas, or when you were playing Innistrad and you were dealing with the baddies from that. It just felt more immediate. Like when you look at Grizzlebrand, you're like, that's a threat. But you just look at Xenagos and you're like, so he likes rebels. Like what's some really know. So I don't know. I've heard a couple of theories about like the fact that he's even in the Pantheon is a big deal and it throws everything off. And I don't know. I look forward to seeing why he's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Not quite sure. The god that I picked is so janky and I went into this so hating it. And I picked Phoenix. Phoenix was one of those cards where when I looked at it, I was like, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to put a bunch of doorkeepers in a deck with the creepy, you know, the aberration guy? I mean, who would? And then the aberration's 2020. It went from being like a really dumb idea to be like, and then you could put some Walls of Frost in there and you could just totally dirtle. And then Gavin Verhey made a deck with this idea. And I was just like, you know, I kind of had like hate sex with the deck. I was like, this deck is so terrible. I want four of every card, you know?
Order, order, order.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like it would take a lot of money to build either, but I am so on board. I am totally going to play a bunch of walls and I'm going to dirtle.
See, that's what you can do at GP Chicago standard.
Terrible, terrible. Yeah, I would do that. And I'm so excited about Phoenix. Like, I would love to just play a bunch of walls. And speaking of walls, there's a zombie tree folk in Born of the Gods. You know how happy that makes me? Zombie tree folk! The thrills come cheap at my house. So overall, are we excited about Born of the Gods? Because I have to say, the reaction that I've seen is very meh.
Meh.
Yeah.
It's meh. I mean, it looks fun. It looks really fun for limited. Mm-hmm. Everybody's meh because of standard, where standard is and what it was going to do to it. Mm-hmm. It is a small set, but like, I like the flavor. I love the art. The art's like, I think probably the best part. Mm-hmm. There's a couple cards from this set as opposed to Theros, but Theros was a much bigger set. Like with Theros, I pre-ordered a bunch. This one I'm not. If I was gonna pre-order, it'd only be a couple.
Do we think it's gonna be enough to change standard? Because everybody can agree that standard needs something right now. It needs to be shaken up. People need to feel inspired. Is this set going to do that? Are there cards?
I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna shake it up the way that people want it to be shaken up. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but I like Theros definitely shook it up.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know. Maybe we need the last set to really shake it up.
Yeah, like I'm really kind of worried about that. And I'm okay with
it. Like, I feel like it's the building block to the next one to make a complete set. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think, you know, one of the things I keep hearing about is there incentive to try? You know, and I know that was something.
Of course there's incentive to try.
Well, no, what I mean is that, you know, when I ask around and when I ask people, you know, why are people not brewing more decks? Why are people not trying to do something else? People say to me, where's the incentive? Well, you can play Mono Black, you can play Mono Blue, you can play Azorius, and they're so good and they're so established that why would you even risk it when the three that are so big right now are such a sure thing? There's just no incentive to try. And I, you know, I just worry that there's a lot of neat cards like the Herald of Bones and the Satyr of Fire Dancer and then Brimaz and things like that. Are they enough to make people want to try is the question.
I think there is. The problem is that there's SCG events. I mean, because that's what people, like, this is what I do every weekend. I come downstairs. I turn on, like, especially on Sundays, I come downstairs, 8 o'clock, they start the finals and Max wants, you know, Tuck wants his food. Mm-hmm. So I feed him and I sit there all day and watch SCG. So, I mean, like, it's there every weekend and you're watching all the decks and these people and you're playing for money and you're playing for those points, the SCG points to get, you know, and everybody's, it's more about the winning than it is about the decks. You know what I mean? Like, well, F&M, and if you're going to F&M, it's more about, you know, you can brew up the silly deck and you could just get a couple packs. But I think a lot more people are doing standard, grinding it out to win the money and like big events. So that's kind of like why you aren't going to be seeing a lot, I think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because everybody's going to be just trying to win. So if you want to win, you're going to be playing the top decks. You aren't going to go and play a janky deck, I think. You know, some people will. Mm-hmm. But it's like what you said. Why not just play the mono black?
Yeah. I think it's bigger than the Star Cities, though. I mean, even GP Vancouver, you know, the GP that just happened, mm-hmm. you know, I was keeping track of it. I was drafting with Katie and
Matt. It's a big event, too. Like, GP. Like, right. You want to win. You aren't going to go to a GP and just, like...
Well, there was a guy who played Maze's End who made it to day two.
Well, that's... there will be people. I'm not saying no one's going to. But, you know, like, it's... there aren't 20 people playing the Mazen deck. Mm-hmm.
And then there was also one guy. And then there was also a guy who had a really neat take on Mono Black that I went into it hating. He used Agent of Fates and Nightcrawler, and that got interesting. You know, and I really rooted for those decks because I really wanted people to see that, and I was hoping it would inspire them. And it's funny because people really rooted for those guys. You know, they wanted to see somebody other than Mono Black make it to the top eight, or, you know, they really didn't want to have to see that mirror match again. And it was really great. I felt like those guys got a warmer reception. That's not to say that the other guys did got a cold reception, but you could just feel sort of the, you know, the there was a lot of energy there where it's like, oh, we hope this guy wins. This is awesome. And I just feel like we don't see that anymore with the current crop of decks, you know?
Yeah. When you're also, when you're seeing it on like Twitch and stuff, they're picking, you know, like from a group of decks and they're going to be putting up the top people and, you know.
Yeah.
If Reed Duke is playing, they're going to put him on. If he's playing Mono Black, then that's what's going to be, you know.
Yeah.
So there are other decks being played, just might not be on the coverage.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So. Like, I know I was, there was a deck I was interested in a couple weeks ago before I decided. I was kind of like I had a really long week at work. I had mandatory overtime a couple weeks ago. I was working like a 60-hour week. And I was like, you know what? I just want to fuck off. I was like, I don't want to win FNM. I don't care. I just want to play something mindless. And somebody won a TCG player event, like a silver or something, with Reanimator in standard. Like, it was junk Reanimator. And it was crazy. And it had, like, two whips and four rescues from the underworld, and, like, some Obsidot's aids or whatever. And it was so wild. And he won a TCG silver with that. And, you know, it hasn't happened since. But it was enough for me to go, somebody did well with this. You know, like, this is awesome. And the guy was nice enough to write a little standard or sideboard guide about it. And I was like, I would play this. Like, this looks like fun. So I know I've talked about going to Modern, and I'm really, really enjoying Modern, which brings us to the ban list. Monday is going to be the announcement, whether they're going to ban or unban things. A lot of predictions going around. It's funny, I was watching GP Vancouver, and they were interviewing some of the pros. Like, they were asking, like, these questions, and it was funny how many pros were just like, they would rather see more things unbanned than see things banned.
Yeah, I think Chapin wrote a really good article on Premium about it. Something needs to happen, whether unbanning, like, they can't just not do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, something needs to happen, or else it's just going to be, you know, like, standard. It's going to be dry. Mm-hmm. Like, the GP, or the Pro Tour is just going to be like, something's going to happen. Unbannings would be cool, because I went and bought four Nicols, or I call it Nattlecats.
I call them Nicottles. I'm pretty sure we're both wrong.
Probably. Nicottles? I'm like, my Nattlecats came! I bought four! For like, they were like less than $6 foil. Regular. Like the, not the, the promo ones.
Okay. $6 a piece? Yeah.
No, total.
Oh, that's
like,
a good deal.
With shipping.
Oh, that's a good deal.
It's like $5.50 or something.
Good deal.
They're like commons or something. But like, I was like, if they get a bid, I'm going to be my four.
It really does look kind of harmless. Like, I know when I first looked at the card, I was like, this is banned.
It's for one, for a 3/3.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
It comes down because if you have a fetch, you go get it.
Okay. And I can see why that's a problem.
Yeah.
But not like a ban-worthy problem. I mean, I could see at one
point. It's pretty powerful.
Okay.
I mean, everybody was like, I think it's a stupid banning, but I mean, like, that's why it's going to get unbanned, hopefully.
Well, I'm new to Modern, so I will understand if I don't get it.
Zoo decks, when it was I heard of it crazy.
I've been hearing a lot of people say that Bitter Blossom should be unbanned, that there's enough tools to deal with it now, it's not that big of a deal. What do you think about that?
I think it might.
Yeah.
If they're going to be, because like, I think, if they're going to unban stuff, that would be one of the things that they would bring. And that's definitely gone up in price. It's already sold out. It's out of stock.
Yeah.
It's up to 35. I think before it
35?
Yeah, it wasn't closer to like 15 or something.
I don't know. I've only ever played it when I played the Holiday Cube. And even then I was very underwhelmed by it. I was like, what's this Bitter Blossom? This is terrible. And then people are like, that's a really good card. And I'm like, not in my hands. You really think they'll unban Bloodbraid Elf so soon?
Oh, no. Oh. I just put in there that I also bought Bloodbraid Elf.
I was like, didn't foil. They just, like, okay.
No, they did. But I bought them anyway, because I played in Legacy. And I was like, they're really cheap. Bye. Four Nattlecats, foil, bye. Oh, I need two more Pluton Deltas, bye. Jim, what are you doing? Nothing. Diapers.
Emptying Tuck Tuck's college fund.
What are you talking about? These are college funds.
Your road to college is paid with magic cards, Tuck Tuck.
Pretty much.
It is interesting, though. There's been a lot of talk about the next Pro Tour because it's modern and everybody wants to break the format. I'm not seeing.
That's the cool thing. I want them to do
Oh, I
stuff.
know, but I'm just, I've never really, since I've been back to Magic, I don't think I've seen a modern Pro Tour since I've been back. Like, I came back 3 years
Yeah.
ago. So it's very interesting for me to see this level of creativity and to see what people are trying. And I think it's great. And I think that's one of the reasons I've been enjoying modern so much. I've been playing out Living End, which Travis Wu created, and I had him on my show. And I love it. I have not had any desire to play anything else. It's funny because somebody had tweeted me today and they were like, can you recommend any modern articles? And I was like, not unless they're about Living End, because that's been my focus. Like, I have all my Living End articles bookmarked. I have my Living End videos bookmarked. And it's been my life. And I love it. I've had so much fun this last month. I just need a couple more Verdant Catacombs and I need one more Fulminator, which I have ordered. And I'm playing with the sideboard a little bit, but it's so much fun. I have such a blast with it when I actually can get Living End off, which is very often. It's so much fun, and it's really what I needed to enjoy the game again. And it's been cool.
Yay.
Yeah. So very good times. So you had mentioned in Standard you were interested in Minotaurs.
If I was going to make a standard deck, I would make a Minotaur deck. Over on Channel Fireball, Frank Karsten wrote an article because I was looking at the Channel Fireball and I saw this and they were go Minotaurs. I'm like, I don't want to make Minotaurs. When I saw Ragemonger come out, I was like, I want to make a Minotaur deck. I mean, it's right now it's probably like a fringe deck. So hopefully in the next set in M15, if you get one drop or something in there, it might become a tier one deck. But so he wrote, okay, so think of this. So what Rangemonger does, he's one black red, and Minotaur spells you cast cost black red less to cast. This effect reduces only the amount of color mana you pay, not like the two. So turn one Blood Crypt, turn two Mountain into Death Bellow Raider, turn three Mountain into Rangemonger, turn four Rangemonger into Bloodbraid Shaman into Boros Rector, Boros Rector, Boros Rector, Boros Rector. Turn, because Boros Rector becomes free at that point.
Ugh.
So cast Fanatic of Mogus for 16 damage. I mean, obviously that's not gonna ever happen. But like just think if it happens once,
It's worth
like
it.
then you could that's what the deck is for. You just want it to happen once to be able to get Boros Rector out for free and they go son of a bitch. And that's like the goal of this deck. So I think I just think it's hilarious. Plus you have like the War Caller, if they have haste. So that's kind of funny too.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, again, that's one of those things that I would normally write off. Like, oh my God, Minotaurs are so janky. But I know full well that I'm going to say that. And then somebody's going to put it together. And I'm going to be across from it. And I'm going to curse the day they were born. And I think it could be a thing. I think, it's something
I think
that.
it will be if they get some more stuff in the next set and in M15 to make it a tier one deck.
It's just gross. Where there's so many things I just don't want to think about. So last but not least, you're still big on the legacy.
Yep, because I mean that's where the investments are.
That's true. And if you're going to pay for
Time
college,
investment.
yeah. So
Yeah.
you said you're playing Ant.
I'm playing Ad Nauseam Tendrils, and then I'm also
Oh,
building Epic Storm.
wow, Ad Nauseam. Now,
Yes.
how is the legacy version different than the modern version? Because I've come up against the modern version quite a lot in recent weeks.
I don't know what's in the modern version.
Okay, the modern version revolves around Lotus Bloom. Lotus Bloom, the suspend Lotus, okay. Ad Nauseam, Phyrexian Unlife, and then you either play a card called Lightning Storm, I think it is, or Conflagrate, and then you just have a gay old time with those.
So you're going to be let me get up.
And then they use cards like Serum Visions and Sleight of Hand to go through their deck and get what they need. And then there's like this there's a star, Pentax Star, I think it is. Which helps them get mana, gemstone mine. Yeah, that's pretty much what their plan is.
Okay.
So is that very different than what you do? What do you
Ad
do?
nods. It's going to get to tendrils. You have to get tendrils,
Okay.
which tendrils of agony, where target player loses 2 life and you gain 2 life and it has storm. So your whole point is
Oh.
to ad nauseum off with all these rituals, like get all this mana, and then you get up to the storm count of like 10, and then
Ooh.
they lose 20 life. Oh, it's hilarious.
Yikes.
The best is when you go off when you're on the play and you go off.
Why is that better?
Because and you have all the cards in hand to do it, and you just win. Before they even get a draw card, they're like, okay, let's start this game. And you're like, blah, tendrils, you're dead. They're like, I haven't done anything. And I'm like, I just played with myself. Game two. Let's sideboard. I'm not even gonna look at my sideboard. I don't need a sideboard. Oh, it's so.
There's a deck in Modern that I've been dreading, Amulet of Vigor.
Okay.
Have you ever played against that? All
No,
right,
no.
let me inform you of the shenanigans. Okay, so the deck revolves around Amulet of Vigor, and it lands come into play untapped, I believe, or everything comes into play untapped. I think that's what it is. And let me just double check here before somebody corrects me, like, I don't know what she's talking about. Amulet of Vigor. Okay. Whenever a permanent enters the battlefield under your control, tapped. And under your control, untap it. So they play a lot of like these bounce lands, and then they're like they bounce them and bounce them back or whatever. And you play with all of the packs, so like Slaughter Pact, Pact of
Tell
Negation, and then
me about
you
that.
play a card called Hive Mind. And so they play Hive Mind first, and then they play one of the packs. And for example, he played Slaughter Pact, and he doesn't have any creatures. And you don't have a choice. You have to take a copy of whatever card they play. So because I'm playing Living End, I have a lot of creatures. So they'll go Slaughter Pact, and you're just like, I don't want this. Like, what's going on? And they play it in such a way where you don't have any mana. Like, they really time it well, or they'll play the Green Pact. There was a green one, and they're like, "Oh, there's this pact," and you lose to a pact because you can't pay the cost. They do something where you can't pay the
Yeah.
cost, and I'm just like, "This is bullshit." Like, it was the first deck I ever wanted to tilt on in Modern. I was like, "I don't like this. This is terrible." And of course, everybody on my Twitter feed thought it was great. They were like, "I love Amulet of Vigor." I'm like, "Fuck you all." So, bullshit.
That's what I like about Legacy. I like being able, like, you could just go off
Yeah.
and you're like, what the fuck just happened to me?
That was pretty crazy. And even the first time I played Ad Nauseam, I had no idea what was happening. Where it was like, so he plays his Phyrexian Unlife. Actually, he plays his Lotus Bloom first. And I'm like, it's a Lotus Bloom. I'll let you have that. And then he goes Phyrexian Unlife. And I'm like, oh, I know what that does. That card's awesome. Yeah. And then he goes Ad Nauseam. And I had never seen Ad Nauseam before. So I was like, oh, the art's really awesome. Look at the flesh. And again, it's not clicking. I'm like, okay, so you can draw. Okay, that's fine. You're going to draw these cards, whatever. I'm just, playing with my cycling guys or whatever. And I'm wondering what happens next because I'm kind of following along. And then he goes Conflagrate. And I'm like, uh-oh. And then it kind of hits me where it's going. And I couldn't be mad about that. Like, that's so gangsta where it's like, that's fucking badass. Like, I will let you have that, sir. Like, it was cool.
Yeah, when you can go off like turn one like a Charbelcher, and it just happens, and like you can't stop it, and there's you have nothing,
Yeah.
you can't even force it. You're just like, yep, that just happened. Yep.
I feel like we don't have anything like, and I think that's why it's so amusing to me, is because I've played Standard for so long and there's nothing like that in Standard.
Yeah, there's nothing in Standard. Standard's just like play guide, blah, 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 blah. Game two, blah, 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 blah. All done.
And I enjoy that so much. Like, that's been one of the thrills to me of Modern, is watching these guys go off and seeing what all these decks do, and it's fun. And if I had the opportunity to play Legacy, I would love to see you go off with Tendrils, and I would love to see a Belcher, and I'd love to. That's something on my wish list for sure. So, if anyone has enjoyed hearing you on the show, Jen, how can they find you? How can they get a hold of you? Can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm Genisodes on Twitter. This is where I mostly hang out. And I'm in places, like GP Philly. Well, you can see me in person at GP Philly. And hopefully GP New Jersey.
Joycey.
Jersey. Yeah. We gotta go to the close ones that are like drivable.
You don't say
So,
Joycey?
no, I'm not from Jersey.
Ugh.
I live in Pennsylvania.
You should totally, like, if I was going to that GP, I would Jersey it up. I would go with, like, crunchy curls. and hoop earrings. And I would totally, I'd be like, you know, why you talking in my bridge from below? I'd have like pierced fingernails.
That would take like so long to get into character. Like, I think I'd be mad at myself staying in character like that and trying to play Magic. Like, I don't think I could do Legacy because Legacy, you gotta think a lot. It's a lot of counting and just like, you know, choices and a lot of decisions and everything, and it's very intense. Just yeah,
See, I'm
I
really
couldn't
good at
pull it
st
off.
I'm really good at not only staying in character but switching characters. So if I was going to that GP, and because it's Legacy, I'd probably play Dredge. So I would be like Dredge for two, and I would, you know, do my Dredge, and I'd wave my little finger back and forth, and you know, I would do a knock amoeba, you know, not narco amoeba, knock amoeba. You know, I'd have to really go for it, you know. So I'm gonna make 20 zombies with this bridge from below. Like I'd really just kind of, I'd let you
See,
go.
I don't think I could pull it off.
I
I'm not very good.
could do that. I could do that.
Yeah, you definitely could, and you should.
Or I should. I'd have to get a legacy deck into when. Okay, so when is GP Jersey?
November.
November. Oh my God, I could get a legacy deck by then.
You could.
Look what you've done! Look what you've done.
Is
Or
on.
I could show up with my Helene Bourgeot impression. You know, have you heard me do Helene? Have
No.
you met Helene?
Not in
Okay,
person,
so there's.
but I've seen her like on like the streams and
So
stuff.
you know what she sounds like? Okay, so I love doing my Helen impression, and people have said that I should. They said that I should either have her on my show while I'm impersonating her, or that I should have my own segment called "Ask Helen Bergio," and then I would answer people's questions like, "Hello, this is Helen Bergio. I work for Wizards," and I would answer people's questions, and it'd be really fun. And she's totally down. Like I actually, she's so down with the fact that I pick on her, and she's so down with the impressions. And I sent her a message as a joke. It was like, "You should come on my show and let me while I'm you and be on my show." And she's like, "This is a wonderful idea. You can email press at this address." And she was so fine with it. And I'm just like, it's fucking on. So, Helene versus Helene show, it's gonna happen.
Awesome.
Well, I have to say, thank you so much for coming back on the show, and I've missed
Yay!
you.
I know.
Yeah, and hopefully this is, you know, what you need to get back into the game, and hopefully you can start playing a bit more, and we'll have a lot
Yeah,
more fun.
now that Tuck Tuck is getting old enough and or back at work and you know he's getting more mobile and not being, you know, eating every 20 minutes, it's helpful.
Eating from you every 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of been it's spaced out more. So like, if I go somewhere, I can give like one bottle and be like, "Here you go. I'll be back later."
Peace.
Yeah. So it's getting better. Like, I can get it out more. So, more magics.
Yeah, definitely. And then more time, more chances to see you.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But sometimes you just want to stay home and cuddle with them. I think all parents are like that. You're like, it becomes that like. You know, do you want to hang out with your cute, adorable baby or play Magic? And you're like, cute, adorable baby.
Yeah, that's how I think I know I'm not ready for kids yet, because I would totally want to play Magic.
I know it's hard. That's the hard thing. Like, and when you're at Magic, you're like, I could be at home with my baby. Why did I just take this shitty deck? Like, I just drafted a pile of poop.
Could be at home cleaning poop.
Exactly. Like, there's other poop I'd rather be playing with right now.
Not really playing with it, but.
Yeah, sometimes you end up blowing it. Sometimes it just squirts out when you're changing it. Across the room. Projectile poop. It happens.
Just keep them away from his savanna, because you'd have a hard time
Oh,
getting.
that those stay up on a shelf.
Okay, I don't want you showing up to GP Jersey with your poopy savannas.
I can't use the savannas. They're his.
I'm just
I
saying.
probably could, I
You
would.
probably
He wouldn't know.
could. So thanks again for coming on the show, and you know that I love you to pieces, and this was a lot of fun.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And if anyone else is listening and you've enjoyed what you've heard here on the show, you can always find the show first and foremost on gatheringmagic.com. The show is on iTunes and Stitcher. Subscribe and leave me a positive review and some stars. The show is also on Twitter at the Deck Tees. I am on Twitter at Original Estrus, and you can also email me personally at estrus@elitestrix.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have fun at your pre-releases and enjoying the new set. And take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.